What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west, and your Washington Commanders are headed to the NFC title game to take on the Philadelphia Eagles.
Say that one more time, please. I got to hear that again.
From the top, your Washington Commanders are headed to Philadelphia to take on the Eagles in the NFC title game. It's the B-Mitch Bowl.
Oh, bro.
B, we were on the field together in Detroit Saturday night. We were texting yesterday watching these games. There's no better way for Washington to be 60 minutes away from a Super Bowl than to have to take down their division rival and just go get it.
Yeah.
And what a season, what a run this has been. And I just saw this on Twitter. Damian Woody, who does the yelling shows on ESPN.
Boy.
Yeah. He said,
Patriot.
There's four quarterbacks remaining now. Mm-hmm. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
I'm not talking body of work, because the body of work obviously would tell a different story.
Yeah, totally.
But right now, the guys that are playing right now, Jaden's playing the best out of the four.
He is. And I mentioned that to you when I walked in here. As I was coming over, I was looking at the quarterback ratings and how the players produced. And he is above and beyond. He was 124, I think, 0.6 quarterback rating, something like that, where everybody else was in the 80s and 90s. And it didn't just happen like that. He had been putting those numbers up all year. But the ultimate thing, man.
122.9 yeah, Saturday
all right. night. So this, when you look at what he's done, he's gotten better. You mentioned this earlier, like a few weeks ago, that when he sees a team a second time, he's totally different. Ty Bowles came out the gate blitzing him. He made him stop blitzing him.
Detroit came out soft.
Aaron Glenn came out and said, let's try to throw different – let's give him a look and then back out of it. He picked that apart. Second half, they came blitzing him. He ate that up. So this kid, he passes the test. And, you know, the more I listen to him and I look at him, he is one who is – he has a one-track mind.
Mm-hmm.
He wants – his mindset is to be the best ever. And you gotta dedicate yourself to that. In 2014, he put out a tweet. He said they're gonna know my name everywhere. They're gonna be saying it everywhere.
He was a kid.
That's 2014. He was in his teens.
He was 13.
Right. 14. And right now, people are saying his name. And I know there are a lot of people out there would say, "Oh, that's braggadocious." No, it's not. It's a guy who wanted to get somewhere, and he and his dad with their game plan, he took it and he ran with it. And since he's gotten into this league, all he does is what the coaches want him to do, what he know he needs to do. He hadn't changed since he was a kid. And you have to give credit to that, man. Hell, you all know, you listening to me, I can be tough. It takes me a lot for me to give credit to somebody. I feel you got to show it to me, and then I want to see it again. And this dude brought tears out of my eyes after that game on Saturday.
I believe
Bad
it.
Bad man, bro. Bad
dude,
man.
I mean, if you look at Jaden's regular season numbers, completed 69% of his passes, average about 210 a game, 25 touchdowns against 9 picks. If you look at his playoff numbers, they're better. He's averaging about 70% of his passes for 567 yards in 2 games, 4 touchdowns, no picks. He's only been sacked once. He's averaging 283 a game. He's averaging 283 a game in through the air, QB rating of 122.9. I mean,
you know what that answers? All the people, the pundits that were saying they haven't played a playoff team. Well, he's in the playoffs now. He's in the playoffs against the best of the
another
best,
43
and he's still putting those numbers up.
Another 43 yards per game in the playoffs on the ground.
Yes.
It is. Listen, I'm not saying Patrick Mahomes is probably already on, like, the quarterback Mount Rushmore.
Hell yeah.
Right?
Hell yeah.
Josh Allen was really impressive yesterday. Jalen Hurts is taking the team to a Super Bowl. Like, these are all great quarterbacks. The one playing the best right now is wearing burgundy and gold. And that, there's so much more to take away from Detroit. And honestly, I thought yesterday was just a really clear example of the power of turnovers in the playoffs. And we harped on that all last week.
Totally.
I don't think it's an accident that Dan Quinn and Joe Witt have been talking about it all year. Ball is life. That's their mentality. You see the Ravens turn it over three times and they lose. The Ravens move the ball really impressive throughout that game. Lamar has two first-half turnovers.
Yeah.
They have the fumble in the fourth quarter. Can't overcome it. You go back the Rams Eagles game, it all came down to inopportune turnovers late.
Yep.
And what Washington has done, LA turned it over twice. Philly had no turnovers.
Yeah.
LA, I thought, moved the ball better, but it doesn't matter when you give away extra possessions. Washington is now plus six in two playoff games in turnover margin. And to go 5-0, honestly, the final score in Detroit's 45-31. They probably needed all five of those turnovers. Maybe you get away if you only get three of them with the pick six.
Yeah.
And a pick six almost counts as two because it's an immediate scoring flip.
Yeah, it's a turnover and a touchdown.
The second quarter Washington played against Detroit might have been like their best second quarter since that Super Bowl with Timmy Smith and Doug Williams.
Yeah.
They scored 21 points in the second quarter. And the sequence be where – McLaurin took that tunnel screen 58 where he showed the vision to duck under the two defenders.
Two hands on the ball going through the crowd.
Then the speed to get away and then the strength at the about the 10 when he had to break that tackle. And then, what was it, five plays later, Kwon gets the pick six?
Yeah.
I mean, that gave them a double-digit lead and there was no looking back.
Well, see, the thing of it, we have harped and we do this in sports, especially in the NFL. It's all about the offense. And I understand that because that sells points. But this defense has been very damn good down the stretch. They have, when you hear five turnovers, it wasn't that the offense did nothing for that. The defense gave them the ball. You know, the defense scored touchdowns this week. And Joe Witt and his crew has to be commended. He came into this area saying, ball is life, okay? We got to go take the ball. They've been taking the ball. Think about that. They have taken the football, and when you take the ball and you give that offense extra opportunities and you take opportunities away from the Detroit Lions offense, I'll just say this here. Everybody said they wanted Ben Johnson. If Ben Johnson made the decision to put Montgomery in the game and take Gibbs out of the game, I'm glad we didn't get him. That's the dumbest move in the world.
Well, what about
– because, bruh, Gibbs –
Gash.
Is a problem.
Yeah.
Gibbs is a combination.
Now, but they've done that all year where they
yeah, but this kid just came off an injury.
Sure. Gibbs
to start him the first play of the game, that was BS. Because Gibbs has just put four or five touchdowns up for you in two games.
Gibbs had 175 yards from scrimmage in that game with two touchdowns. He averaged well over 9 yards a play something. What I think the dumbest sequence of events for Detroit, I think the play call and then the execution was probably worse. You are gashing Washington with Gibbs. Just absolutely killing him. Mm-hmm. They averaged 9 yards a carry, 8.7 yards per carry. And you get early in the fourth quarter and you decide to run a double reverse wide receiver throwback.
Yeah.
And then Jameis
Williams. Which you should have never thrown.
You're averaging 9 yards a pop. Yeah. Like, you're in this game. And then Jameis Williams should never have thrown that football. But he's way out of his element.
Yeah,
don't put him in the position to make that decision.
Okay, if he had been a quarterback in college, let's say that.
Right.
You can understand because he knows how to throw it away or whatever. But I said one thing to you, and I say it a lot of times. Once a team puts up touchdowns and they start to separate, I don't care who you are in this league. You can be the best of the best when it comes down to coordinators. You start chasing. And – for Ben Johnson, he used some last play of the game, we got to get something done, get our trickeration in that game because they were being beat by a team that was just beating you with their regular stuff. So he had to go in his bag, as they say. And going into his bag didn't work for him. That's when you know they knew if we keep allowing this team the ball, we cannot keep up with them.
Dude, it's the same kind of stuff that Detroit had to do when they played Buffalo late in the regular season, and Buffalo was just able to score at will. That's why they tried to pull out an onside kick late, because they knew they needed possessions. Detroit's defense, not all the way back. And I think what Washington was able to do to them and to reestablish their ground game. And listen, I watched yesterday. I know what Philly's D-line is like. Detroit's D-line ain't Philly's D-line. That's a different beast that Washington's got coming up. But I think just the fact that Washington was – you know what they say with shooters in a slump or in baseball when you're in a slump? Like, sometimes you just got to get a hit. Sometimes you just got to see the ball go through the basket. Mm-hmm. And I think for B-Rob to go 15 for 77, 5 yards a carry, 2 touchdowns, B-Rob and Eckler. Eckler went 6 for 47. He averaged about 8 a carry. For those guys to just kind of get it going on the ground again, mm-hmm. I think that's going to carry a lot. I actually asked DQ about that yesterday, and he said, you know what? We were aware of what this looked like, and we really needed to start to work again. And I think that mattered a lot Saturday night. I also think, dude, Jaden's unflappability is so vital to the whole organization. Because, think about how easy this could have gone. They have that good drive going early. They force a 3-and-out on Detroit's first possession, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then they get that drive. They get 2 first downs, 8 plays, 56 yards. And DQ was right to go for it, right? That's – you know Detroit's going for it. This game was going to be decided.
There was a go-for-it bowl right here, baby.
This game was going to be decided by touchdowns, not field goals. And so I don't disagree with the call. They don't get it. Now, you can maybe disagree with the play call. I don't know whatever was supposed to happen, I don't think it happened. Because Mariota took what looked like a tush push. Then some people think it looked like he kind of bobbled the snap and stood up. I kind of thought he was looking to pitch it, and then there was too much pressure.
I'm going to tell you, that play right there, I've seen. The quarterback act like he's on quarterback sneak, pitch it back to the net, and then that's a run-pass option.
Seemed like Josh Allen almost wanted to do that at the goal line last night and held onto the ball.
But if that ball is pitched, it's nobody outside.
Right.
And if a receiver releases, nobody running with him. And if he runs with him, he can't make the right decision. I mean, so the defender couldn't make the right decision. I understand where it went. But you know what? They just they brush it off. And
what impressed
moving.
Me the most, so you force a 3-and-out, then your offense gets a good drive, give it up on downs. Detroit, when they got the ball back, they got the ball at their own 29. 6 plays, 71 yards later, touchdown. And on that drive, they had a 15-yard gain, a 13-yard gain, a 29-yard mm-hmm. gain. Gibbs carved them up. All right, so then you're looking at what? You're looking at 7-0, and it's like it felt like this Detroit freight train was about to start happening.
And then they went right back down.
Washington's able to get a drive. 10 plays, 41 yards. Wasn't great, wasn't that impressive, but they get on the board. They get it to 7-3, and then Detroit is driving again. They're down inside the Commanders' red zone, and they force the first turnover. They get to Goff, he puts it on the ground, and then Washington goes back the other way. In that span, early in this game, where Brian, to me, it looked like it was about to be 14-3. And that place was electric and loud, mm-hmm. and I think there were real concerns about how it would shake out. You force a turnover, Jaden goes back the other way, 11 plays, 76 yards. They get the touchdown, they run off a lot of clock, it was a 5-minute drive. Like, that is where games are won and lost. Those swings are so incredibly vital. And in this game, man, it was Washington did not blink. They have not blinked all year. And perhaps one of the wildest, I thought most impressive things DQ said to – so there was a media Zoom yesterday afternoon, and Quinn talked. And I asked him – they've had these winning time moments all year, B. They've had these opportunities where they win these games late.
Yep.
And it all comes down to the wire. And then this, in their biggest game of the year, honestly, the biggest game for the organization in 20 years, nothing comes down to the wire. They go out there and they kick the Lions' ass.
Yeah. And I still had a little stress going on.
Oh, we were all
I was like, man, look, because like, that little walk, the way that stadium is made, I don't know who
that
the hell
tunnel
did
going
that.
Down there. Yeah.
But walking there, you don't see much. Then you get down there, and it's like you get closer to the field. I like the fact they let us get that damn close to the field at the end.
Yeah.
But it's the stress.
Yeah.
But they came through, and it's the closest to having a game where you don't have to worry in. Because, you know, I mean, we're waiting until the last second. This one here felt good.
They hadn't had a squeaker since December. They hadn't had a laugher like that since December 1st mm-hmm. over the
yeah.
Titans.
Yeah.
And not that this was ever close to a laugher, because there was, especially when Gonzo missed that field goal late, everybody's like, ah. But, dude, I asked Dan Quinn, you know, what went right that you were able to not have to stress in this one? And he said the obvious, the turnover margin is the obvious factor, right?
Uh-huh.
But beyond that, Dan Quinn said in the team meeting Friday night, he told his team they would have the lead. And this was all about finishing. Think about the confidence. Think about the understanding of what your football team's about to go do. Mm-hmm. And hell, the matchups, they watched all the tape. They knew where they could win, where they could lose. And to the wherewithal for a coach to tell them, you're going to have the lead. It's going to be about how you finish the game. Sure enough, they did it, man. Yep. It's just... It is so remarkable. What we're seeing from Jaden Daniels is just so, so remarkable. It's the way people are feeling. I don't know if you notice this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not putting his business out there because he's putting it on Instagram and everything. But our friend of the program, friend of ours, Peter Rosenberg, had a baby last mm-hmm. week, maybe two, like yep. within the last 10 days. Little baby girl. Congratulations. Her name is Maya.
Oh, wow. Same as my baby.
You know what her middle name is?
What?
Jaden.
Wow.
That's where we're at.
That's where we're at.
That's where we're at, man. And it's deserving. That's where we're at. And they've got a chance. They are 60 minutes away from a Super Bowl berth. And there is zero reason. I'm aware of Jalen Carter. I know Sam Cosmi's out. And we're all wishing the best for Sam, who's just such a good guy and a real positive force in that locker room. I am aware of Saquon Barkley. Like, I am fully aware of all these things.
Mm-hmm.
But much like last week, Brian, when you and I sat here and talked throughout the week about Jahmyr Gibbs and Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jameson Williams and Sam Laporta, Detroit was good. Detroit
yes.
is good.
Mm-hmm.
But so is Washington.
Yes.
And
that's what they said, okay? That's what they said. We kept asking questions. Everyone kept asking questions about how good they were. I think Quan was one of the guys who said it.
Quan was the first dude that
and
I heard it from.
And other guys say, we're good too. And I've told you many a time, I go back to the past, and I saw Coach Gibbs, man. Every time I see Coach Gibbs, I have this feeling, like I'm like you said, when I would see Coach Gibbs and Coach Thompson, I act like a little kid. Because those guys got me, and I met them when I was that young dude trying to find my way. When I saw Coach Gibbs, it brought back that same type of thing, where he used to always tell us how good the other team was. And me being a young little whippersnapper who didn't care, I'm like, Coach, we're good too. Why you keep telling us how good they are? We want to know how good we are. You know, give us that confidence. And he would do it, but he still did it the next week. I think that was his way of he knew he irritated guys by saying it and made us work even harder. Like when we didn't want to go out and practice, he'll say something like that. We got there and damn near kill each other. He got the best out of us. So the man knew how to hit those buttons.
We've been saying this for months. They got guts. They got a true team. And wow, do they have a quarterback. And what an exciting time to be a Washington sports fan. We don't get to say that all the time. But this is about as good as it gets, folks. I know the Caps run, the Nats run. Those are all magical things. But when this town gets rocking with the burgundy and gold, man,
mm-hmm.
it is a different beast. 60 minutes away from a Super Bowl. 60 minutes away from a Super Bowl. These are high times in the DMV. And you know what else? There are also high prices in the DMV. If you're
yeah.
looking to buy or sell a house in this area where you know it's going to be competitive and you got to really understand the market, only one person to call. His name is John Leahy.
Yeah, that guy is John Leahy. And I'm in Bethesda right now, not far from Rockville. So Fred was in Rockville, and he needed to sell that Rockville home. So he reached out to John and the Fine Living Group to get the property sold again. This was Fred 8th time trusting John and his team to get the job done. With John Leahy's VIP seller program, he got the home sold quickly and for top dollar. If you're looking to sell, take advantage of John Lee and the Fine Living Group's guaranteed offer. Start by finding out what your home is worth in only 30 seconds at johnsellsdmv.com. We're talking about our guy, John, and that's J-O-N. Have no H in it. John Lee and the Fine Living Group of eXp Realty. John offers you flexible fees, customized to your needs, and he knows that life happens. So if needed, he will let you out of your contract at any time.
When you talk to John, it's more of a conversation than it feels like a business transaction. And that's important because you got to ask. B-Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Dude, listen to this. We have made it late enough in the season. I've never experienced this. I'm gonna be totally transparent from a reporter side of this. I've covered a number of Super Bowls. And when you get that deep into the season, when you get to the Super Bowl, the NFL takes over everything, and the media requirements all change. Everything starts to look different. You're no longer in locker rooms. It's all podium sessions, and just everything changes. And that's Super Bowl week, and I've seen it. I've been used to that. I've never covered a conference championship game. But what I've learned is the NFL kind of starts to take over too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So going into practice this week, and it's funny because I was texting with Kerwin about this earlier, about if we knew what the practice schedule would be. Normally Dan Quinn talks Wednesday and then again Friday. Dan Quinn's going to be available all 3 days this week.
Yeah.
Both coordinators. They're also going to have Brian Johnson available. That may be a Philly-specific thing. I'm not sure. This is fascinating to me. The quarterbacks across the NFL always talk on Wednesdays. That's mandated from sea to shining sea. Quarterbacks are talking Wednesday and Friday.
Hey, bro, the NFL sells this league by the quarterback, and they're going to make sure you hear from the quarterbacks.
Well,
especially having all the quarterbacks that they have in there. Josh Allen, they've been pushing him all year. You know that. Pat Mahomes is the guy. Jaden is the up-and-coming guy. Jalen Hurts also with Philadelphia and having Saquon. I bet you Saquon going to do more media than other running backs.
Sure. Well, and the other thing that's fascinating is if you watch that game yesterday and then you heard his comments after the game, Jalen Hurts, the Eagles quarterback, I don't know that anybody's 100%. I don't know that that dude's 80%. He is clearly beat up. And then you saw him what looked like kind of hurt his knee towards the end of that game. And all he said after is, yeah, I'm not going to talk about that right now. I was able to finish the game. And that's great. But, dude, the fact that Hurts is going to talk Friday afternoon also is pretty interesting because that'll be after the last practice. Maybe we get a little bit of injury information. If that wasn't enough, we will have Daryl Green at 1 o'clock on Wednesday this week, which will be awesome. I mean, I know two dudes that were in the last time Washington played in the NFC title game, I know two guys that played in it, and they will both be on the show Wednesday at 1 o'clock.
Who are those two guys?
There will be three guys on the show Wednesday at 1 o'clock. One of them has big ears and is a white dude and did not play in that game. And the other two played in that game.
That's the B-Mitch guy?
Yeah. That'll be dope. Also, this is awesome. So this Sunday, we get the NFC Championship game right here on 106.7 The Fan.
Yes.
Sunday, you can listen to 106.7 The Fan for Commanders-Eagles in the NFC title game, plus full pregame show, full postgame show. Listen to this, B. Have you read the email yet from CK?
Mm-hmm.
All right. The game starts at 3. What time do you think our coverage on The Fan live and local starts?
7.
9 a.m.
I was going seven.
I'm guessing, yeah, maybe Earl needs to start even earlier. I'm guessing it's Earl into maybe Denton and Linnell start that early. Maybe you get Doc in there. I don't know, but that'll be awesome.
It's going to be some good. Bro, you got to cover this, man. This is a great feeling. Listen, I can tell you, I have experienced this city, this area. Let's just say the area, not just the city. I've experienced this area when this team is at this level and playing like this. And it's something special. I can remember Monty Coleman said, sacrifice everything you have right now because you will experience this the rest of your life. And people still talk about that game. You get good feelings about people. I can remember I walk in the bar and guys coming up to me like it was yesterday. You know, you make sure you do everything you need to do and more. And you get a victory and move into the Super Bowl. And whether you – listen, this team has done – have been in on this slump. They're going to recognize this, but this is – it can set up a whole new era of being.
Dude, you don't want – throughout this playoff run, I think you and I have done – I think you and I have made a point of – I'm not here for the, wow, what a great year conversation yet because there's football to talk about.
Yeah.
Eventually we'll have the what a great year conversation. Yeah. But right now there's games to talk about.
It's about trying to win the next one, baby.
And I'm not here for this could be the beginning of something awesome for a long time conversation either because there's a game to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Eventually those conversations need to be had. But the only thing I would caution for anybody that is – you know, thinking big picture, long term. Focus on this weekend, man. Football seasons are living, breathing organisms, and it's hard for things to align. I mean, you need the damn planets to align. This is a lunar eclipse we're watching. You know what I mean? And you got to be so locked into this game. And with Philly, dude, I'm aware of Saquon. The way he's playing is outrageous. We just talked about Jahmyr Gibbs in that game. Jahmyr Gibbs had 14 carries for 105 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't think they got a chance, we're not breathing the same air.
They're crazy.
I know Philly's going to be loud and cold and blah, blah, blah.
I don't think it's any louder than what it was in Detroit.
Dude, what'd you think of that? The first quarter, honestly, the first half was...
They put on a show.
That place is electric. They deserve credit for that.
Every person that comes in, they get like a band or something.
Yeah.
And
it was like a Taylor Swift concert.
Those bands light up based off of what the music is and whatever else. And when those lights go down and you start seeing that silver and blue and how it's bouncing around there, that's electrifying. But you know who got electrified by it? Our team.
Totally.
They were like, oh, hell, this for us, you know? So they didn't get rattled by any of that, but I'm telling you, those fans – were rocking.
I
bought it for their team.
I really think we got to credit Dan Quinn and the Commanders' game plan.
Yeah.
Because DQ said yesterday, yeah, you know, we knew how loud that place was going to be. We knew it would be electric. And we just used it to our advantage.
Yeah, yeah.
He said they practiced. One thing I thought was really smart, and maybe this has always happened, right? I'm not necessarily saying he created the light bulb here, but when they simulated the noise in practice – they simulated the noise on the field, but then they also simulated it like on the bench. So that, because the other part of this is not just on the field. Like, what about while the defense is out there and Jaden's trying to talk to David Blau or Tamita Pritchard or Kingsbury? Mm-hmm. It's so damn loud. I mean, where we were in the press box, it's hard to talk to the person next to you. Like, down on the field level, even if Jaden is sitting next to Cliff and they're looking at the iPad, it's still so loud. It's hard to do that. And DQ said they practiced that. A lot of the O linemen were locked in on silent counts. I think Trent Scott deserves a lot of credit for that performance, Brian. Cosby goes down, and we all hope the best for him, and we know he'll get the best care, and he'll work his ass off. But Trent Scott came in and was really good.
Yeah.
And
see, have that experience, man. Like, we understand. Listen, we know that there's a little drop-off, but his experience and playing so many games in this league, that came to the forefront. And they, next man up, anybody, anywhere, anytime, all that stuff came to play in the game.
Totally. And I think Bobby Johnson, man, a guy that to me, pretty inaccurately got dragged for last year in the Meadowlands on what is clearly just a fairly floundering organization right now, and they just had a ton of injuries. Bobby Johnson showed up here, and it was interesting because they've had Juan Castillo for a while. There was Bill Callahan for a while. Bobby Johnson's a different dude. He works those guys hard, but he's not like the drill sergeant type. He's more of like one of the guys that's going to work your ass, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And that O-line, I'd say, has been – they dealt with some injuries. Biotis looked beat to hell when he got in the locker room the other night. But they the line has performed. And Trent Scott, throughout the season, and I was impressed by this, B, we were debating when Cosby went down was on the touchdown run, the mm-hmm. B-Rob touchdown run. So then you have an extra point after. Then Detroit gets the ball. So there's a little period of time – where you're unsure what they're going to do.
Yeah.
And there was like, okay, do you bring in Big Luke at right tackle and then kick in Riley?
Yeah.
Do you bring in Dieter? And then Scott comes out, and everybody's like, oh, it's Trent Scott. After the game, DQ said, yeah, that's our 6-0 lineman. We haven't practiced everywhere on the line of scrimmage. Like, that's our guy. That's our versatile piece.
So he's our Riley McKenzie.
Yeah, honestly, I kind of thought of that.
I'm being honest. Riley played from right tackle to left tackle. He was damn good at center and guard. But if you needed him at tackle, he was able to fill that thing in. Big Ray Brown was all over the place like that.
And that's what you need to do on the offensive line is get your best five out there and let them figure it out. Mm-hmm. And that's absolutely what they did. And just what an effort from this team. I know the phone lines are going to go bananas when we open them up. I think that's going to happen at 11:30. We got Charlie Batch joining us at 11. The guy with Super Bowl rings, a guy that played in Detroit, a guy that knows the quarterback position. I'd be remiss if we didn't talk to some quarterback today about what Jaden is mm-hmm. doing. Eventually,
Charlie played up there.
I know.
Yeah.
Eventually, we got to talk about how Landfill was correct, like he tends to be. Before we get to any of that, though, if you're looking for a new garage door or just fixing up your garage door opener, whatever it is you need, call Door Pro America. It's JP Finley, and my wife and I realized that our garage door is probably older than B Mitch. I think it was like a Model T parked in there. That's how old our garage door was. And it just sucked. It was super loud. Half the time it wouldn't close all the way. So we called the real pros at Door Pro America. Now we're getting ready to level up. The guys are coming out Thursday to install the new one. Shane and Vince, when they came out to do the estimate and show us all the options, they made the process so easy. Showed us what everything would look like on our house with this cool Photoshop app. Door Pro America has proudly been serving the DMV for over 50 years. Their team handles everything, garage door and opener repairs, maintenance, new installations. They do it all like true pros. Right now, you can save $150 on a brand new garage door. If your garage door is stuck in the past like one of those old leather helmets, take it from me and give the pros at Door Pro America a call. 877-DOOR-PRO, 877-DOOR-PRO. Tell them JP Finley sent you, or you can check them out now at doorproamerica.com. Hey, B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Your Washington Commanders are in the NFC title game against the Philadelphia Eagles. Let that sit in. Dan Campbell, Lions coach, I thought did a really good job of making clear Washington deserves the credit for winning this game. Campbell was really emotional Saturday night after the loss. Mm-hmm. He had a press conference this morning. And he said, credit Washington. They did what they needed to do, and they played a good game. For us, when you feel like you need to bring your A game, I think if we bring our B game, we got a chance to win that game. they were forced to not have any of it. And
yeah.
One dude I think I wanted to give credit to, Lamphill. We all predicted, maybe not all of us, I think White Brian was on the wrong side.
Chris
but
Russell?
I know Chris Russell definitely on the right side, wrong side. A lot of people thought Washington didn't have a chance. Vegas had them as the biggest underdog of the weekend. I never felt that. I thought they'd have to play pretty close to a perfect game. Yeah. And you know what? They did.
I felt good. And then when I heard Dan Campbell talk about Jaden, I felt great. That wasn't him just trying to blow smoke up somebody's butt. That was him basically going out there and saying, this dude here's a problem. He said he's dangerous. Okay? And when you saw him say it, you felt it. And he was obviously dangerous on that football field. Because what Washington did is what they've done all year. What Detroit did was try to change up what they were doing.
Totally. And I think Washington set the tone early. There were some big hits. Dante Fowler came to freaking play. And people can say whatever they want. You know what? No, people can't say whatever they want. Frankie Louvu had a completely legal hit on Jared Goff. He didn't go out hunting the quarterback on an interception. Players do that. On defensive
if
players,
you're in that area, you're getting hit. I don't give a damn if you're a quarterback.
On interception returns, there are players that at times go hunt for the quarterback. That was not the case. He was trying to get Quan in the end zone, and that dude was between him and the end zone.
Yeah.
And it was a completely legal hit. And Goff, they took him into the blue tent and checked him out. He might have been fuzzy the rest of that game. The NFL ain't pulling a quarterback in
listen,
the divisional
man,
round.
Listen, the league, and I'm going to tell you when it started. Eagles against Chicago. Their quarterback was right, I'm talking about this close, to the running back. And Hugh Douglas cleaned his clock. He got knocked out the game. And then after the fact, they fined Hugh. And they started saying, you can't hit the quarterback. But they say the quarterback should not be in the area. So if the quarterback can't make the tackle, what he should do, he should just give himself up. But he was trying to make a tackle. And when you go chasing, trying to make a tackle after you throw an interception, you are a player at that time. You should be able to. When you become a running quarterback,
he is.
You can get hit. Okay? When you are in the pocket, they protect you to a certain extent. When you give your body up, they protect you. But if you're trying to make the play, your ass can get hit like everybody else.
Dude, and I think I asked Frankie about it after the game. Frankie is a class act, man, and he's a pro, and he's like, listen, I wasn't trying to hit anybody. I hope Jared Goff's okay. I was trying to get my guy into the end zone. And when you watch it in live speed, that's clearly
man,
what was
it's
happening.
Football, dog.
Anybody that's trying to claim something else is a Detroit-driven agenda. Junks had this dude on this morning, that dude that went viral with the podcast last week about how Detroit was going to crush Washington.
Uh-huh. The idiot.
That guy, yeah. He was doing his job.
I would have gave him
apparently, he's like, I was surprised. I saw his profile, and I think he does play-by-play for the Pistons. So I was a little surprised that somebody with, like, a real platform would go the total, like, pro wrestling route. But whatever, it's up to you. There's no way you watched that hit and think there was any maliciousness.
There's no malice, man.
No, dude. No, it was football. Last I checked, they're still allowed to play football.
Hey, in football, as I say all the time, if you think the rules are going to protect you, you're going to get hurt. You better go out there and learn how to protect you. I don't care. If there's an interception and you're anywhere close to the guy who just intercepted the ball, you might want to put your head on the swivel.
Yeah.
I don't think he said, oh, number 16, let me hit him. He said, blue jersey, hit him.
Now, I did want to give him credit. Professor Landini. Brian
yes.
and I thought a lot of things could happen for the Commanders to win this game. You, however, said Jared Goff stinks and eventually he'll stink again.
Yeah.
In this game, he was 23 of 40. So that's, what, barely 60%? he did throw for 313 yards. We had 40 attempts. One
but a lot of that came at the end when they were just letting him throw the ball.
He also had four turnovers.
Three scores down. Four turnovers, three picks.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think of Jared Goff's performance and your prediction, Professor?
Yeah, I think Jared Goff is just, he's kind of like on that Kirk Cousins, Dak Prescott spectrum of quarterbacks where they're clearly good. They'll get a lot of yards. They'll win games in the regular season, make themselves a lot of money. But just when it comes down to it, in big games or when the game's on the line and you need a guy to make the play, they're not the guys. They're not They're not in that Patrick Mahomes, Jaden Daniels, like Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow kind of category of quarterbacks. They're good players, and if you surround them with a good play caller, good line, talent around them, they'll go out there and they'll win you double-digit games, and they'll make everybody look really good, and they'll get everybody paid really well. But when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, and you have to rely on these guys to win a game, they're just going to choke because they're not that good.
You might be onto something, brother. I think, honestly, the Kirk comparison is pretty interesting. When you load them up with talent all over the field, they can make some big throws. It's also interesting as we get further into, I don't know, time, life, existence, whatever you want to call it. Like, all four of the quarterbacks in the title games this weekend can move. They can move in the pocket, out of the pocket. They can make plays with their legs. Goff can't, and you wonder how much that matters.
That D-line was getting after him.
They could have had a rough night. Sanders still, to undercut the one pick in the end zone was just a brilliant play.
I think
play.
It was a setup the whole way. If you watch him, he was trailing, but he wasn't out of the picture. And he sat there, and right when at the end, you could see he just cut under. I think he knew exactly what play they were trying to run. Once you start going, you can't throw the ball but a certain place. He saw a ball coming, and he ran to act like just like they tell a receiver, don't look until, okay?
Yeah.
You look.
They want fast hands.
If you're running,
fast hands too.
You got to be able to run like you see and look out the corner. Yeah, you see the ball coming, then you put him up. Sanders still was right there, former receiver as well. He was right there, and he picked it, just like you tell a receiver to do.
Laid hands, baby.
Laid hands,
I guess
baby.
The corners can do it too.
Oh, yeah.
When we come back, Charlie Batch joins the program.
CB.